Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast, episode number... Oh, that's not right, is it?
I thought you had us all sorted.
Yeah, I... Everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast. Gandhi's Breakfast. It's episode 80.
I love this one.
Eight nothing. There we go. Gandhi's Breakfast. 8-0. I love that one. Been waiting for that one for a week.
Didn't need to look it up already.
I was like, hang on, that doesn't rhyme. What's going on? 8-0. Yeah, okay, right. Oh, well done, Fraser.
So, welcome aboard for episode 80, everyone. We're all a little bit rushed here, running around for some reason. Even though I'm sort of on holiday today, I've been running around like a blue-arsed fly all day. But we're here now, and that's what counts, with the lovely Dave on my left.
Hello.
Neil on my right.
Hello.
No guest. We haven't had a guest for a while, actually.
No. Maybe we can talk bollocks for a bit. Like, why do people say blue-arsed flies? What is it about a blue-arsed fly that means it's very busy?
I don't know. I have no idea. If you can be bothered to Wikipedia that, please.
I'm not sure I've actually seen a blue-arsed fly either, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know a fly's ass if it was in my face, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we could sort of look into that, but I'm not sure.
Tune in next week.
Yes, for same Blue Arse time, same Blue Arse channel. Let's go into intros and shout-outs. The only thing we have in there is just maybe a quick update on the VG Hub television network. It's been going, hasn't it? There's been a few streams this week.
Yeah.
We got actually
the YouTube going, haven't you now?
Yeah, we've got a YouTube channel. So we're we're exporting some of the streams to YouTube. The reason actually that's come about is because we want somewhere to store the BattleTech competition matches.
But without DMCA takedown.
Well, I don't think we'll have any music in there, so we're very aware of not having any music. We'll talk about BattleTech in a bit, but yeah, that's the theory. So I've done a little bit of streaming. I think Neil, you did some as well.
I did a match versus
a little bit. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Actually, that one got exported to YouTube.
Yes.
Right?
How did that go for you?
You see my ugly face on YouTube now.
How did that go for you?
How do you reckon that went when I was playing the BattleTech Master?
Should we just have the BattleTech section
No.
Okay, we'll come to BattleTech then in a bit.
Good preamble.
Yeah, preamble. Anyway, so that's going good. But I do say that I've had John Mouse and Kev Westerman have both said they didn't get emails for stream keys. I'm not getting the emails from that that these guys are saying, so I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't see that there's a problem with the email.
I sent you an email, didn't I? And it came through.
You sent me an email, it came through, so I think these guys have just, you know, need some help something. I don't know.
It's all VG Hub TV, no spaces, no nothing, is it? VG Hub TV at gmail.com.
yeah
don't forget the TV,
anyway,
because I did that first.
If you want to get a key to stream to the site, do it. There's a few people popping in and out and stuff like that. Oh, we had actually, because we started a match the other day, I think we got up to 11 viewers. It's very exciting.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was good. I thank everyone for their support.
You're not
affiliated. So that's ongoing.
Yet.
No, we're not affiliated yet. No. we've only fulfilled two of the four criteria.
Criteria one, have
the
a channel.
One is,
criteria two.
Well, the hardest one, I don't know, to be fair. like for me, they've all been hard. But like getting 50 followers initially is maybe the first barrier, and then getting 5 people chatting at the same time apparently is one that there's a bit of a ball ache to get working.
I don't get that one. It says here the path to affiliate, reach 50 followers. So we're at 36 out of 50. Stream for 8 hours. That's fine. We've blown through that one. We're at 40, so nearly 40 hours of streaming. Stream on 7 different days. We've blown through that one too. We're at 19 different days. Average of 3 viewers. We're struggling on that one.
I'm getting mixed up with something else.
I think there's more steps to that, because I think there's more steps after that, because
partner is after affiliate, and that's big time. Partner is big time.
Yeah, that's like having 500 viewers like for 7 days straight and stuff like that. So
When you get fancy, like you can stream in higher quality and it'll sort it out so that people can watch it in whatever quality they can get.
Right,
it's fancy.
Yeah, one day. So it's nice that that's still going on. Anybody want to give shout outs to other podcasts that they're listening to?
Not listen to anything
a bit of a week
this week.
Like, not really. Built up with joysticks and chill. I listen to Catcast as always. And there's a load, Rock Paper Shotgun do a load of podcasts that I quite like, and people affiliated with that I've been listening to. One's the Electronic Wireless Show, which is the RPS one, and they do the best something in video games every week. It's been quite good and entertaining. And they have a feature called The Cavern of Lies, which is quite funny, where they have one of them, of the three people on there, will like describe, I don't know, 5 things, and one or two of them are fake, and the other two have to work out which ones are fake. And it's quite funny. It's quite good.
Okay.
What's the other one they do? Can't remember now off the back of the top of my head. I could probably look at my podcast feed, but there you go.
I've been listening to the Gilbert Gottfried podcast. Have you ever heard of Gilbert Gottfried? He's a comedian.
Feel like I should
have done. Comedian. Yeah, he's an American comedian, probably getting a bit old now, but you certainly would have seen him. He was the voice of the parrot in Aladdin back in the 90s.
Oh, that one.
Okay.
You know, he's got that really mental voice. And I don't know. But he's got a podcast where he just talks to some very interesting people. It's a bit blue in places. It's a bit raw. Because he's quite a filthy comedian. The first one I listened to was like with Dick Cavett. I don't know if you know who Dick Cavett is. He was like he hosted a talk show in the States during the like sort of, I think, late 70s and 80s and 90s. So just tons of guests, right? So he's just recounting loads of stories, you know, about famous people and stuff like that. So I just found it interesting. It's nice to listen to.
See, like Wogan. But from the States.
Wogan, but full on from the States, yeah.
But
yeah.
More rude.
More like Larry King. No, well, Dick Cavett wasn't. Right. Gilbert Gottfried's podcast is.
Right.
So the second episode I listened to, actually the second episode was, I know they're both very interesting. The second episode was with this guy called what was his name? I can't remember what his name was, but he played Carlo in The Godfather. And Carlo in The Godfather was the bloke who married Al Pacino's sister.
I still haven't seen The Godfather.
What?
It's shocking, isn't it?
Shocking.
Any of them.
Okay. All right. But anyway, that one was really interesting because this guy was super in with the mob and talked about his mob days and stuff like that, and how he got into being in The Godfather and stuff like that. He wasn't really an actor, but he ended up getting quite a major part in The Godfather.
Cool.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, so that's about it.
I was gonna say I have been listening to Shift plus F1.
Okay.
An F1 podcast hosted by Drew Scanlon and Danny O'Dwyer, previous hosts I think they're reporters at Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they started a podcast about F1. And they also talk about Indy 500 and a few other motorsports. And I think they've got somebody else on as well now. It used to be known as Alt F1. Now it's Shift F1 after they left I think there's the giant bomb got sold, but they couldn't take the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good, actually. It's they come at it from a beginner's point of view. In that, if you don't know much about Formula One or race series, they do a lot of explaining. And there's lots of sort of they've set up the podcast.
And they make it more interesting. Is that what they do?
They talk about it, and they talk a lot of news behind the actual scenes, not just the main news that you see. But I don't think they have guests on from F1, but they definitely delve into the sort of nuances and talk about sort of how the F1 cars are different, and you know what the teams are working on, and talk about more about the personalities of the drivers rather than, you know, not only on track but off track. It's quite good. If you're interested in F1 and or motorsport, it's worth a listen. And I do like Drew Scanlon. I did follow him. He used to do lots of videos for Giant Bomb. He done a lot of the main videos that he was doing covering and games he was covering was simulator games. And he loved his airplane simulators and things like that. So yeah.
Cool.
I just thought I'd show out that.
Yeah, fair enough. That's good.
Cool.
Let's go on to the tweets that we have here. Friend of the show, Stuart Cullen. We haven't heard from him for a while. He says it's good to have you back, Stuart. We missed you. what have you brought us today? Oh, it's a Stadia question. He says, with Stadia bringing Ubisoft Plus to six new regions and the likes of Rainbow Six Siege coming to the service, how will the newly added feature to the service that lets you save notes about your friends improve it? And could it save it? Could it?
Is what? Friends like a loose term there? Is that like people you've got on your friends list and you might want to put notes? I assume they're private notes. You don't show your friends what you've got next to their names. Like rubbish at Valorant or something next to some people's names.
Yeah,
If Rainbow Six Siege was actually like the same as the PC game, it might not be too bad. But the fact that you said PUBG on Stadia was like a console version of it.
Yeah.
PUBG wasn't, you know, known for its good graphics to start with, and then you're saying it got so downscaled and the frame rate was poor anyway.
It wasn't the frame rate, it was just the input lag. That was what killed me.
Right. Oh right, yeah.
You know, it was a noticeable input lag, PUBG it doesn't seem like it, but it is a little bit of a twitch shooter, right? You know, it's
when you get up close and
yeah. So I don't know. Rainbow Six Siege can
definitely control that recoil better than I can. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. But saving notes about your friends. I mean, that's an interesting feature. I mean, really, like if that's where you are with your service, then that's, you know.
Well, I'm not sure that's a feature on anything else. To be fair, it might be that's a pretty exclusive one. I've not heard of that anywhere.
Valorant, you can do it. You can put notes next to people's names. I think Dave and I both put notes next to each other's names the other day, didn't we?
It did.
Is that a new feature?
I think it's been there for a while.
All right, it's not like something that, you know, maybe they're integrating with Stadia or something. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
So just hypothetically then, if Valorant did appear on Stadia, would you think...
Oh my God.
Would that be interesting to you?
God, no. I mean, the thing about Valorant is that is almost like the ultimate Twitch shooter, right? You know?
Yes. Yeah. It's getting props from big peeps, Valorant. The Shroud man, he likes it a lot. He's got a lot of respect for it.
Yeah.
He knows his onions when it comes to shooting games.
Valorant's very popular.
Yeah, 14 million players a month, apparently.
Yep.
Saw the other day.
Yep. And coming, I know my mobile daughter is... My daughter is going to school and they're, you know... bless her, she speaks to people and you know, especially guys, they learn that she likes Valorant. You like Valorant? Mm. She's like, yep, And she can hold her own talking a conversation to it. She knows what she's doing. So it's pretty cool. Loads of, I find that there's no shortage of girls playing Valorant. You always hear them chatting away and stuff.
It's an inclusive looking shooter, isn't it? And stuff. A bit like Overwatch. Seems to be, I don't know if the community was. Well, I guess you could just turn off the voice chat pretty in most games nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
There's some dicks around, let's be honest.
Oh, there's no shortage of toxic assholes, too.
Yeah.
But it's quite refreshing, you know, to get into a lot of games where people are generally very friendly and asking everyone where they're from and whatnot. So, thanks, Stuart. Paul W. says, which of your past gaming systems, console or computer, was the most unreliable? Oh, I read that as reliable earlier. It's unreliable.
Unreliable.
Do not include Windows-based PCs. It's got to be, for me, it's got to be the Xbox 360.
Yeah, that's
hands
sort
down.
How many of them did you have? I'm sure I had this conversation.
4 or 5.
Yeah, a few.
4 or 5. And that feeling of just your heart sinks, you know, when you saw that red ring of death.
Did you have any warning signs before you got your red ring?
I had an upset tummy.
Hot curry.
I can't remember.
I remember my first red ring.
You do.
Anyway, so I bought it was the day Halo 3 came out.
Oh, yeah.
My first red ring, and I had the whatever special edition, and I put in the extra disc first. And I can't remember, was it a video or something? I can't even remember what was on it. It was all video crap. Watched a bit of the video and stuff, and then I put the disc in to play the game. And then my screen went like fucking multicolour snow. I was like, uh-oh, that's not good. And then like turned it off, turned it on again. Nope, not happening. It's just flashing red. I was like, I still haven't played Halo 3, you fucks. So they just went out, literally immediately went out and bought another one.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had a console die on me. Game Boy.
Oh,
Game
really?
Boy.
Unreliable. I thought that was like a brick.
I think that's sort of a drop because it was dropped.
Right.
When I was younger. Like the old fashioned Game Boy. I don't know. Was it unreliable? I don't know. It may be most abused, my Game Boy.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember way back, my Commodore 64. Sometimes you'd load a game and it didn't actually load. That was quite annoying. Yeah, that was pretty unreliable in terms of cassette loads. And you had to fiddle with the heads on the tracking and all that crap.
Yeah, there were lots of times like loading games on the Spectrum would screw you up.
Get all the noise coming through and then it would just go ding as the like tape would end. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess that didn't work then. So start all over again. But yeah, towards the end of its days, we had to... like the power lead was dodgy, so you had to like bend it back on itself to maintain connections inside the wire and stuff.
A fix that is nowhere improving, which is just going to make it worse at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
I got to say, my Xbox One's right now, particularly my one upstairs, that is just—it's not doing well. It's not doing well. Very occasionally, it won't do anything.
It might need a bit of a dust inside.
I took the one down here apart a couple of weeks ago and it was fine. Like we just, for some reason, we don't have a dusty house.
Mm.
I think it could be okay, but maybe I'll take it apart. I don't know.
I'll just give it a blast.
I just want to replace them. I just want to get
that's
it.
That's what you want to do. You just want to find a reason now.
I keep eyeing up the S, the Series S.
They're becoming a little bit more in stock over here, it seems. They're lasting a bit longer.
Yeah, they're in stock here. It's not a problem, but I just
yes, it's definitely easier.
I just can't bring myself to drop that money now on a console that I really don't play anymore.
Mm.
That's the problem. So I need somebody to give me a ton of money where I don't have to think about it. Just go, oh yeah, okay. which is not going to happen very soon.
Yeah, I look at the S and I think, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cheap, and I've already got hundreds of games for it, obviously. But then I keep looking at the X and going, yeah. That's a lot better, isn't it? And I've got all the 4K TVs, and I'd just be like, should have got the X. Plus, I don't play it.
So you've got buyer's remorse before I've even bought it.
Well, I think for the extra £200, like, for the X, you get, like, you're already getting double the hard drive space versus the S. So that's, if you're buying the add-on for the S, that's like 200 quid. You'd end up with half a terabyte more, obviously, you have the S and the add-on. But I was like, well, it's 450 for the X with a terabyte in it. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'll figure it out later. It's not a priority right now. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. Hope you're well. Kev Westerman, he of the missing email, says poutine, yes or no? Do you guys know what poutine is?
Yes, only because somebody ordered it from the pub for a lunch before lockdown.
This is bizarre. Yeah,
cheese and gravy.
Chip, cheese and gravy, yeah. I mean, it's traditionally, I think, from Quebec here, and it's not really cheese. It's meant to be cheese curds.
That sounds gross right now.
I had poutine, actually, I had poutine last week or the week before. It was, well, saying that, it was from Wendy's. So, I mean, it was shit.
Not real,
anyway.
Then.
It's not the best, right? But it's still the basics the same, cheese curds and gravy on their fries.
I mean, it's not the gravy that's different, then. It's the cheese.
No, see, Kev says here, any gravy tips for making at home is can't really get in the UK. We obviously get gravy, but is it a special kind of gravy for the cheesy goodness? I'm not aware of it being a special type of gravy. The thing is, it is supposed to be cheese curds. I don't really like cheese curds. I think they're genuinely flavorless. So what we tend to do here is get fish and chips in, and then we'll also get gravy. And then we pour the gravy over the chips and then put some nice, like,
with
cheddar
fish.
Cheese over the top of it.
Do you have fish with chips and gravy?
Yeah, we'll have fish with chips and gravy. And
that's weird.
Well, you know, I don't know. Me and my son will just demolish it. It's just like,
chips and gravy is all right, but I'm not sure it goes with fish.
Oh, it does. Get it in there. It's fine.
No, we have curry sauce with our chips and fish sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have mushy peas, to be fair.
Yeah, I had mushy peas this week.
Ooh. Yeah. They will be after you soon, you fancy veg. Place in town is advertising poutine. I've never seen it before. This place has really just recently opened, and one of the things they're plugging is poutine. I was like, well, that's a bit weird, random, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess that's sort of what Canada's.
I think the English version is just chips, cheese, and gravy. But I think that is quite a northern dish.
Like, yeah, chips and gravy is.
Chips, cheese, and gravy.
People are eating. I mean, I remember when I was at school, we used to have chips and cheese all the time.
Cheese and chips.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, you know what? Poutine. I mean, maybe there's okay. Maybe the poutine train is in full
swing.
Stop
saying poutine, because all I can think of every time I hear it now, I don't know why, but I hear poutine to the tune of Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Excellent. We do have a poutine dedicated fast food chain over here, which I took my son to a couple of years ago and his friends.
What?
Yeah.
Just one dish.
All sorts of different types of poutine. And then they throw anything on top of it, like shredded beef or whatever you want, right?
Okay. So what's the word poutine for? Is it just cheese curd? Is that what the word poutine is for?
Poutine is just the name of the dish, which is the fries, the cheese curds, and the gravy.
Right.
So it's from Quebec. It's just one of those things. Is it great? No, fuck no, it's not great, is it? It's chips, cheese, and gravy, right?
Is it your national dish?
But it's like held on a pedestal, right? You know why it's on a pedestal, don't you? Because there's loads of blokes pissed out of their heads on Fridays and Saturday nights wolfing down poutine once the bars have kicked out, right?
It's
just like, well, you know, we don't have, well, we sort of have those. We do. But a lot of people will go, who wouldn't want to go eat chips, cheese, and gravy after a night on the piss?
Well, it doesn't sound too bad.
Of course it doesn't.
Sounds like it'll make you avoid a hangover, potentially.
Of course, it's good for you. You can't afford not to eat that.
Now, do you get like a little wooden spoon with it? Do you get like a plastic spoon that's going to break on the first chip, or do you just get your hands in there?
I don't know. It depends where you go. It's too messy for hands.
Well,
so
when you're sober.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you're not sober, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Just dive in, face first.
So that's poutine. Kev, thanks for that great question. I'll be interested to hear how popular poutine is becoming across. Canada's exporting something of note. Forget maple syrup. It's poutine now. Friend of the show, Christian, says, evening, boys. Hope you're all well. Let's get a sealed dream team or Super Six up for the Euros.
Didn't seem to go down too well when I mentioned this last week. You were like, no.
Well, I'm just being polite. You know, I don't mind saying no to you. Christian, like, he's a listener. I'm going to say, yeah, of course, Christian. Why not? I'm still going to say, you sort it out, though, Christian, because I ain't sorted it out. But
it's all ready to go, mate. It's already there.
Okay, if it gets created, I'll throw my hat in. Like, you know, how hard can it be, right?
It's just the same format as the FPL one, basically.
Sounds like words for me.
That's right. My look, mate, I've knocked off for the weekend. He says, last week you were talking about shooting, which made me think. My dad used to take me duck and pheasant shooting in Cumbria. Standard shotgun shooting, which was fun, but I only really went to spend a weekend with my dad, which was a rarity. Oh, I hope you got a lot out of that, Christian. When I was helping my mam sort through my dad's stuff, we finally found his gun safe key, and boy, I didn't realize my dad was Agent 47. See pictures below. So he's been kind enough to see. It just looks like there's some guy getting ready to go out and do some damage to a public school somewhere, doesn't it? Look, there's all these guns on a bed. Nice looking guns too.
Is that four different ones?
I think it's
four different guns. Yeah,
shotgun and three rifles.
Yeah, some fancy looking. Yeah, one's like a definite sniper scope.
Two of them have tripods.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nice. I think at least one or two of those guns you're talking a decent amount of money.
Yeah. Three of them have suppressors on them. These rifles all have suppressors on them.
They're not suppressors. I don't think we're allowed to sell guns with suppressors in the UK. I think they're
just for show.
More like stabilizing muscle or yeah, they're
cod
not
weapon attachments.
Strictly. Unless they're older ones, and yeah, they are silencers. But yeah, like proper rifles shouldn't have silencers on them. Yeah,
I'm not too. Up to speed with the gun laws in this country, because generally I didn't think it was supposed to happen generally.
Rifles are fine. Shotguns and rifles are fine. It's handguns are illegal.
It's a ball ache though to have them if you don't use them.
Oh yeah, you've got to have a proper license that gets renewed every couple of years.
My dad had shotguns and we kept those up in the, you know, he built the cabinet or whatever upstairs in the loft. But I think after a few years, he wasn't using them, and he's like, it's just a ball ache keeping it.
That's more hassle than VR, is that what you're saying?
But yeah. So they look pretty cool. He says, sorry, I forgot my question. While listening to a podcast on BBC Sounds, at the end it advertised another podcast where Vanilla Ice, yes, Mr. Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon, is hosting a podcast all about the disappearance of Shergar. So what's the weirdest matchup or place you've seen someone pop up?
That is pretty weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty random. That's almost like I'm going to be done for not having a warning on that question. I probably should have read it before we started the show. Mr. C doing a podcast on Shergar is very random.
Vanilla Ice, you mean? Not Mr. C.
Sorry, Vanilla Ice.
Mr. C would be equally random.
Mr. C. Yeah, Mr. C. Yeah.
So what? Like, sorry, I think I'm missing something. What's Shergar? Who's Shergar?
Shergar is the horse that was stolen. And I back onto that podcast 70s. That I was listening to, that I said about earlier. One of the stories that they came out with is this is a bit an urban myth or whatever, that the Queen has Shergar's heart inside her chest, and that's why the horse went missing.
Okay.
So it's what? This is a racehorse or something?
Yeah, so Shergar was like this famous racehorse. He retired, and then it looks like here, 1983, he was stolen from the stud ranch. They wanted $2 million for his return. And
So he's sausage meat.
He was never seen again.
Yeah. Sausage.
Possibly.
Probably.
It says here, no arrests have ever been made in relation to the theft. Shergar's body has never been recovered or identified.
But his heart beats strongly in the Queen's chest as we speak now.
Great. What's the weirdest matchup or place you've seen someone pop up?
The weirdest thing I saw, which doesn't seem weird anymore because it's happened a lot now, was when I first saw Snoop Dogg advertising Just Eat. I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, he was advertising what?
Just Eat, which is like delivery, but like it was the English version. Like, and it's real, like, kind of tacky. Like, it was all like the, I guess, I don't know, delivery do like big chains, don't they, as well as like local restaurants and stuff. Just Eat was always all the like independent people kind of got on there early. But yeah, that was just odd. I was like, whoa. Just Eat is really that big that they can pull Snoop Dogg in, but then apparently he just advertises fucking everything.
A lot of the American actors and British actors advertising over in America, they do it outside of their normal sort of general celebrity area.
Yeah.
But if you go back, you can't get away with anything these days, can you?
No.
Not now, but there were loads of actors who would go do massive advertising campaigns in Japan, right? They didn't care.
That's still a bit like closed off, I guess, from like the Western world.
Yeah, didn't Bill Murray? He went off and made millions doing whiskey adverts in Japan or something.
We did, he?
Yeah, good on him. So, yeah, if I gave that some thought, I could probably come up with some.
I don't know. I think we just expect all celebrities to shill whatever they're doing everywhere nowadays, so
yeah, that's true. I'm sure if I thought about it, you'd come up with something like Ice-T goes carp fishing or something like that, right? I don't know.
I'm sure there's something knocking on my head that I can't remember now. But yeah, that Snoop Dogg one was a bit like, whoa.
Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Thanks, Christian. Thanks, much appreciated.
You too, mate.
Anything? Oh, just a couple more. Discord. Oh, Discord. Lord says too many games, not enough time. I don't know what that was in reference to.
It was just comments and questions. So,
yeah. Defoe, show friend of the show, Gary DeFelici says, he of the Garcast, which people should check out, says, how many folks are on suicide watch after the Leafs choked again? Send Pajama Boy hugs and kisses, please. I think any Leafs who are on suicide, no Leafs fans will be on suicide watch after they've choked again. It's not going to happen. They do it all the time. For anybody who doesn't know, the Toronto Maple Leafs got knocked out of the playoffs again. They choked.
Why don't they
time.
Just start their own league in Canada?
They could easily sustain it, probably, but for whatever reason, the American market
probably wouldn't make up quite so much money, I guess.
I think the thing is, the American market. Oh, here's the thing about the Leafs, anyway. Just so people know, the last time the Leafs are basically the most popular, hands down. Got to be probably I say hands down. I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty confident in saying the Leafs are by far like the largest franchise for hockey there is.
In Canada.
No, they're larger than any of the American teams. I don't know. Actually, maybe one or two of the New York teams are pretty big. I think the New York Rangers might be as big. I don't know. But the support for the Leafs is insane, right? Toronto could easily handle three or more major hockey franchises. We could have them around here and you could fill those stadiums every week. But of course, because of the way the franchise system is, the Leafs have the market. They won't allow anyone else into the market, and so they're able to charge phenomenal amounts for their tickets.
Right, you know, yeah.
It's one of those things. It's a massive thing to get tickets to go to the Leafs. Right,
but who keeps winning?
It gets spread around, doesn't it? I mean, the Las Vegas won a few years ago. They were a brand new team. Yeah, Las Vegas, the Golden Knights. They were a brand new team. I'm not sure. Did they win or they came second, I think, on there?
Do they have much ice in there?
Well, they have fucking everything, don't they, in Las Vegas, let's be honest.
Yeah, sorry, no, they didn't win. I think they came...
They did surprisingly well for a team in, like, a desert.
Yeah, it's phenomenally well. You know, Washington won a few years ago, I believe. I'm not a hockey expert, so I get pulled out by people going, you're completely wrong, Fraser, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Bit off football, before really.
Speaking of football, we'll come to that in a second. So, yeah, normal service has resumed. The Leafs haven't won again. No big deal, right? They should be. And as Leafs fans, everyone's just like, you know, they've never won in my lifetime. And they're supposed to be like, you know.
They're like, oh, they haven't won again. It's like, yeah, tell me something new.
It's insane. But there you go. Thanks, everybody, for your questions. Much appreciated. Let's rock on now with general week stuff. Let's just go in order here. Neil?
I ain't done a lot. Had the family round for barbecue in the garden, and it rained. Fucking great. So we come inside. So we had my mum and dad, my brother, and my mother-in-law. Nice little get-together. First time in fuck knows how long.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice.
Who drank too much?
Nobody.
Okay.
Yeah, good. It was just really nice to get together.
Right.
Have a bit of chin wag.
Yeah, good for you.
We were actually sat down rather than like stood outside. For the last time I've spoke to anyone like of them, really, is just standing in my mum's garden.
Yeah.
And all that sort of thing. So, but yeah, it's been like, nice to get together.
Good. Good. Oh. That's nice to coincide with the rise in cases that I read about in the UK today.
Well, most of them. Us have at least had one vaccine, and most, right. Like several of them, I've had two. So,
my kids got vaccinated this week.
Really? We're not getting kids done this yet.
Yeah. They opened it up for 12 and above. Wow. And I went and booked. They opened it up on the Monday. And I just looked online and they said, oh, you can come in for a late cancellation. So I did. And we were there in 15 minutes. The kids were lined up getting ready for a vaccine. So we were very lucky.
What have they had then?
Oh,
they had Pfizer.
Mm.
And they were both okay. Mm. Okay, is that all you've got then for us?
Yeah, I ain't done nothing else really. Only video games.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got a bit to go through here. Let's start off with Skunk Story, because that's the probably. So, yesterday in my we'll start this. My dog basically, I told you my dog went through the screen door. Anyway, I fixed that. I replaced the screen. I bought a kit and fixed it earlier on in the week. And anyway, it was late night last night. And I was like, I can't be bothered to take my dog out. So I'm going to just let him out in the garden to have a pee. Normally I take him out outside around the streets just for a quick 5 minute around the block. And then as I got up to open the door, I noticed there was a rabbit in the backyard. And it sort of scooted off. My dog saw it and started barking. It sort of scooted off, and I could see the white tail of the rabbit. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'll just let him out, and he can chase the rabbit, and the rabbit will dip under the fence. No big deal. Oh, so I did that, and he was nearly about to go through the door and the screen that I just replaced anyway. So I opened it up, and he shoots out like, you know, he's like a rocket, right? Big 115-pound rocket flying out of the back door, ready to just kill. And it wasn't a rabbit, it was a skunk. And it didn't go under the fence, it came back into the garden. For whatever bizarre reason, it didn't scoot away. It sort of faced him off. And it all happened so quick. I suddenly realized it was a skunk. I shouted, oh my God, it's a skunk. And I ran, opened the door, ran out, and he's basically facing off against this skunk. And I just grabbed him. It all happened so quick. There was something going on. Like, I think he was on the skunk. Anyway, I grabbed him and pulled him away, and the skunk let rip with his skunk scent, as they do. And it's just brutal, right? My dog's been done by a skunk before. It's just phenomenally obnoxious skunk. It's brutal. He did get, we're not sure if he got hit or not, but he, you know, like when somebody sprays perfume, like you don't necessarily have to get sprayed by the perfume to, if you walk through the perfume afterwards, you can taste it on your mouth, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether he caught like vapors of it or something. Do you know what I mean? rather than got a, because when he got done the first time, he got a direct hit in the face. He was fucked, right? His eyes were just gone. His, he was just drooling. He looked like he was a rabid, needed to be put down, mad dog. So this time he was salivating or whatever. And I was like, and the skunk had gone, scooted off. And I was like, shit. And I was going over him and whatever. Long story short, he stinks, right? He did get it somehow. My house stinks of skunk. My wife, you know, I gave.
I was going to say your wife stinks of skunk.
I stink of skunk anyway. My wife basically, you know, I took him into the bath. We have special shampoo that we've always keep some on hand just in case. Or my wife did. Full credit to my wife. She handed me the shampoo that we've kept just in case. Special skunk shampoo. And I put him in the bath, gave him a wash or whatever. And like, you can still smell it on him a little bit. It stinks around the house. And basically my wife comes down with the blankets or whatever. She goes, here you go. She goes, you're not coming up to bed. You can go sleep in the basement with the dog. And I don't know if that's really because of the skunk. I think it's because I was being such an asshole for the last day or two, right? I think my wife finally found a brilliant excuse to just basically banish me to the basement. So anyway, we did banish ourselves down to the basement. He stinks today. He's a little bit stinky.
Two stinky boys together.
Yeah, stinky boys together. So that's quite stressful, but wasn't as bad as it could have been. He definitely didn't get it as bad as he got it before. Mm. And then we just had an update. Neil, you missed it, but Dave heard it. My son came down, and apparently the skunk was outside the back fence dead. So whatever my dog did to it, he did get to it. That skunk is no more, you know.
Yeah. That was his last act, was spraying.
Yeah, that was his last act. Which, so here's the thing. Like you know, it's a shame. Skunks, actually, they're pretty cool animals. They're all right, you know, as long as you don't fuck with them, they're all right.
I was going to say, I don't know, do you see them as vermin over there? Or are they, you know?
They're just a pain in the ass, right? Because if you see one, you can't go anywhere near it. Like, I've been I remember in Toronto one time when we lived down there, I went to the back of the house and then I was coming back to go to the front of the house, go back into my apartment. And I couldn't because there was a skunk hanging out by the garbage can. So I was just stuck, right? You can't, he doesn't care about you. He's not going to move. And if you go bug him, he's going to spray you. So they're just a pain in the ass. Plus, if you have a dog, right? Obviously, whatever.
They like to eat them.
So I don't know if you, I'm not sure if you could eat a skunk. You know, any port in a storm, right? I mean, you might want to eat one. I don't know. I watched a YouTube video the other day of a guy eating beaver.
So I don't think you could get that sort of thing on YouTube.
So yeah, I don't know. So part of me is just like, because skunks, they're all right. You know, they just go around scrabbling around looking for worms and shit. You know, they're just, you know, they're God's creatures or whatever, just doing their due. But at the same time, last night I wished nothing but death upon that skunk, and it did come.
Well, it seems like it paid off.
Yeah, so I don't know what to tell you.
Did you rub any lumps or something?
I don't know. So I feel bad for the skunk, but anyway, there you go. It's become a bit of a killing field, because a skunk died in our garden a few years ago as well. We found its remains when we took apart our deck. The skunk bones.
They smell bad when they rot as well.
Well, they just smell like rotting animals at that point.
Yeah, that's not a great smell, is it?
No, that was not a great smell. So but I knew
if it's been entombed in a decking, then yeah.
I think he just went under there to died. Because I remember there was like a week of really bad smell. I was like, something has died under there. And then when we finally got around to removing the deck, we found the bones.
I think I remember you saying about 2 years ago. Yeah, you thought a rat had died or something.
Yeah, that's right. We would have been doing the podcast then. Yeah. But I am aware that some people, like, they get the skunks. Deglanded or whatever.
No,
and they make quite good pets, apparently. You know, they're quite, whatever. But anyway, whatever. So long, skunk. Sorry.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah, I think maybe he got hold of it. You know, because I saw some blood on his mouth. So now I hope he hasn't got rabies. That's the other problem.
Oh God!
But there you go. It is what it is. And carrying on with animal deaths. So I took Stan out my son, we went, took the dog out for a walk the other day, and we walked around this field, and we just come to this. I'll tell you what was there. What we were confronted with was 2 feet, a tail, and a stomach attached to like about 4 foot of intestines. Nice. That was all that was on the ground. And we sat there analyzing it. We're like, holy shit, that's pretty grim. And we were looking at it. I was going, that is a cat. Like somebody's cat.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Something got it. Coyote, fox, who knows?
Did you sift through it for one of those RFIDs?
Did they have like a collar?
Mate, I tell you, there was nothing. I'm telling you, all that was left was like the end of the tail, two back feet, and the stomach and intestine, and like the stomach or the lower intestines and the stomach, or like the bit that the animal just goes, I ain't eating that. Like, I'll eat the rest of it.
He smelt the fucking state of that cat food. He's like, I ain't fucking eating that shit.
Yeah, I'm not eating that, no way. Oh, God, no.
Not put posters up saying found cat.
Not that's all.
Slightly used.
Is this your animal?
But you get it all the time, right? Round here. Well, I mean,
what posters of half-eaten cats?
Well, people are. No, yeah, we don't have that. But always posters of people like, we've lost my cat. Yeah, that's it. Accept it. You've lost your cat. It ain't coming back, right? There's things around here. Eat those cats, right?
So you're saying I think the worst we get in the UK is foxes, isn't it? They go after.
They'd go Do after they? A cat, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're about the same size as a cat, really.
A fox would probably think twice after a good swipe, but I mean, if they could get it, why wouldn't you?
Mm.
We have coyotes in the forests around here, and they'll. A friend of ours was saying that they're quite clever. What they'll do is a lone coyote will be show itself to a dog, and the dog will chase the coyote, and then the coyote will lead it to the pack, and then
it goes, oh shit.
Yeah, that's right. So you have to be careful with coyotes too.
They sound like a dangerous animal though.
Yeah.
Kind of forget that the Canada is still the frontier, the wilderness.
Yeah, I was talking to my mate the other day. He said there's bears around where his cottage is and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, it's cool. Okay, moving on from wildlife. I refurbished some speakers. I have some speakers from about the 1970s. I got in on those and gave them a tune-up. They're now attached to my system, sounding great. For anybody who cares, they're Acoustic Research AR4Xs. I think they're from 1970, maybe earlier, maybe a little bit later. Solid, lovely sounding speakers. They've actually replaced another pair, which I thought were the bee's knees. These ones are even better, and they're like 50 years old. So
wow,
that's good.
Cool.
Chelsea, you know the huge Chelsea fan I am.
Chelsea Shore?
We were talking about this last week. Was this only last week?
Yeah. So we were talking last week about how, well, it was Neil well, told I me that Chelsea had made actually, the Champions League final. And I
fucking regret doing that now, don't I?
I had no knowledge of it. Anyway, I sat down and watched the Champions League final. Watched my team romp to the victory in the Champions League. It was an all right game. They didn't romp to victory, but Man City didn't turn up.
No.
And Chelsea played well. They didn't sort of park the bus.
It was a good game in the first half. Second half was a bit boring.
Yeah, well, I didn't find second half boring because, holding on to a 1-0 lead against Man City. Yeah, fuck. Holding on to 1-0 against Man City. No thanks. Yeah. But anyway, the result was there. So that was nice. And then the only other thing I have on here is last night. Oh, yeah, because I got banished last night to the basement. I decided to watch Army of the Dead. So I don't know if you guys
How
are
long
aware.
Is this film?
Yes.
I've heard
saw that.
This. It's on the Netflix.
I had seen it as like a movie that popped up on Netflix, and I was like, whatever. I'm sure it's shit. It's got Dave Bautista in it, whatever. It's probably crap. But then
what
I saw that
saying?
Zack Snyder was.
Yeah, that would have made me instantly think it was probably a massively pretentious load of old bollocks if I'd seen it.
Well, I mean, he's got, he's up there with famous directors, isn't he? So, and he did a dead movie, didn't he? In 2004 or 5, I think. I can't remember which one. Doesn't matter. But yeah, it's all right. It was okay. I've seen worse movies. Is it going to win any prizes? No.
Nope.
But actually, there was.
I liked it in the fact that it goes places where you don't think it does.
Yeah. I agree, yeah. Dave. Yeah, there were a couple of points where I was like, that's cool. They've sort of like really scratched underneath the surface of the zombie thing a little bit, a little bit more than some people have.
I think the best thing about that film, there's not a spoiler I can say, is they talk to one of the characters and he says, nope, and he walks away.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like, nah, this is, and like literally he's like, walks away. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, this is stupid. And it's like, that's actually a real response somebody would have.
Yeah. Well, they actually say that there was the other response with the pilot that I really liked, where they were going, you know, 2 million, you know, here's, we have a job, it pays 2 million or whatever they said to her. Are you, you know, would you be interested? She goes, yep, count me in. And they go like, well, don't you want to know anything about the job? She goes, I got a shit life, you know. So what do you want me to do? Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm in, right?
Yeah. 2 million's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are some really good bits in it. And there was one fighting bit quite early on when they're sort of getting into wherever they're going. You probably remember where they're sneaking around. Going very quietly, and then it all kicks off. It's a really good fight. I thought it was a really good fight scene.
Yes, like, yes. That is very suspenseful, especially at the start. I can't say too much without spoiling anything, but I think it's worth a watch.
It's definitely worth a watch. It's 2.5 hours.
Oh, fuck off.
Is.
Which... Yeah,
you don't need to put any thought into it.
It's 2.5 hours. Why is it 2.5 hours, not 1.5 hours?
Oh. It definitely suffers a little bit. You can see like the opening credits.
Is it going to bring out a director's cut that's actually 5 hours long in a couple of years' time?
Yeah, probably. Look, Neil, I think I read something online about it this morning where they said that it was shorter, and then the studio said, we need you to put in more about, you know, to expand this part about these people or something like that. So
I quite like the intro. I would like to know the story about the intro.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's quite a long intro, but it's like basically it's the this is where we are, or this is how it led up to where we are now.
Yeah.
And then like that actually would make quite a good film. That bit.
I think there's another film coming out as well this year, which is related to it with Dieter, the German guy.
Okay.
There's something else that's coming out.
The locksmith.
The locksmith, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, it's a romp, right? It's a zombie romp, but I think it had some really cool bits. Yeah. I don't want to give too much away, but it was great.
Was it better than the average Netflix movie though?
Dude, look, the thing is, like, I went into it last night with, I'm banished to the basement. All I have here is my dog and a big bag of weed, right? So how can I make the most of this situation? I know, I'll watch a 2.5 hour zombie movie, right?
Maybe there was something vital ingredient that you had there that made it all right.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it could go both ways as well. It could be like, oh my God, this is absolute trash, right? So, yeah, I don't know. It's worth a watch. I say I give it 2 thumbs up. I enjoyed it. It was just a lot of.
You can't give it any more thumbs up than that, can you, I guess, for one person?
No, oh, I found it entertaining. what have you got, Dave?
My dog. We think she's got kennel cough. Actually, I don't think she's been coughing much while we've been on this. She's got a horrible cough at the moment. She's been coughing for the last day or two. Spoke to the vet. I went, yeah, it's probably kennel cough.
It's quite common in younger dogs, I think.
Yeah. The missus is worried a lot. So I kind of had to tell her, no, it's a cough. Leave her alone.
What's kennel cough? It's just a
bad cough. Yeah, just a bad cough. Quite common. She does socialize quite a lot. Apparently, there is a vaccine that you can get for it. But kennel cough is kind of like a catch-all for lots of different types of cough. So the vaccine for kennel cough isn't actually, it's for the more common types of cough.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's just a mucus, a throat mucus thing.
Like an irritation or infectious, yeah. Canine infectious respiratory disease.
Yeah, it's a catch-all for your dog's
upper respiratory infection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically the same as like a human having a cough. Like, why have we got a cough? I don't know, it's probably a virus.
We have strep or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably got a virus line needs to the doctors aren't going to be saying that much in the future, I don't think.
Yeah. So yeah, the missus really wants to take her to the vets, and I'm like, no, it's a cough. She's fine. She's fine in herself. She's still happy and jumpy about, and you know, obviously not taking her for walks or socializing with her dogs at the moment. But like, yeah, just leave her to get on with it. So
yeah, I think that's a good piece of advice, is just make sure, because from what I understand, having kennel cough, what can be worse is if they catch something on top of it. So if you keep her isolated and just keep her safe. I mean, I am not a doctor or a vet, by the way, but
I feel like we may have learned that lesson, though.
Before you turn up holding your dead dog in front of me going,
I think that might be a general, like, yeah, if you don't feeling very well, keep yourself to yourself and don't fucking go and speak to other people.
Mm.
Maybe that's something we should all learn in future.
Yep.
So poor old Lilo, but she's all right at the moment.
They're quite resilient dogs.
Yeah.
It's just, they're like kids though, aren't they? Like, you can't, before the kids can speak, when they can't tell you what's wrong.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Wait till the dog can speak and tell you what's wrong, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the dog will just say, I've got a cough. It's like, yeah.
Good morning, David. I have a cough.
So poor old Lilo, but yeah, it's like, she's fine. She's actually sleeping and dreaming a little bit at the moment. So
she's
fine. The other thing, work has been really shit this week. But cracking on with that. So I did 20 hours of overtime last weekend, over 36 hours. This week I've been doing extra hours and missing lunch breaks all this week. And then this weekend I will be working a lot as well. So yeah, work's pretty shit at the moment. But
yeah. Earning the coin though, eh?
Yeah, so it was a.
Oh, that's the you get that's that answer. You're at that age where like it doesn't impress you as much as it used to.
No,
earning the coin though. Oh, whatever. Oh. Fuck.
So yeah, it was overtime last weekend. Now this week and this weekend it'll be time in lieu. But
ooh, not getting paid this week.
The fact that we're having to work extra to get shit done and we're getting time in lieu. When are we going to take the time in lieu? We're so busy. It's just like, it's just a hassle. I hate working for time in lieu because it's kind of like, oh, I want to take my time in lieu now. It's
right.
Like, oh. So, yeah.
I'll set it onto your holiday. Next time you have a holiday, I'll take an extra 2 days time in lieu, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 2 days of your holiday, I'll take as time in lieu.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Yeah, book a day or two and say, actually, I'll have a day either side of that as well. So I'll have, instead of a 4 day weekend, I'll have a 6 day weekend. Thank you very much. I could do a 6 day weekend.
Weekend,
like a whole week off.
Actually, we should have one of them every week.
Yeah, I agree.
Just work one Wednesday.
Yeah.
Every week. It's my daughter's birthday on Monday. Nice. As part of a big birthday present, we completely redid her room. So we got a new bed, new side unit, new drawers, repainted it all. basically completely transformed her bedroom from a child's bedroom into a young adult's bedroom. It looks pretty cool now, actually. But one of the things is we thought she needs an alarm clock. Oh, the choices of alarm clocks that you can get.
Oh my God.
So, like, honestly, yesterday...
Never accuse us of scraping the barrel for content, people.
So, but I just want an alarm clock. I was like, okay, right, let's have a quick look. On Amazon, there's literally tens of thousands of alarm clocks. Fair enough, 95,000 of them are the same alarm clock from China, just repackaged. Yeah. And drop-shipped from different people, making slightly different pennies on top of the amounts that they're asking from China. So, but to be honest, I was looking all around, and there's depending on what you pay for, you get like ones with batteries in, or like you get DAB radios, or different functionality, better sound, not so good sound, Alexa integration, CDs. That's an older ones, but like Bluetooth or wireless charging capabilities. And it's like, oh, and then like the theme of the bedroom is white. So anything that I was looking for had to go into. In the end, I said, sod it, I'm getting an Echo Dot 4th gen with a clock. They look pretty cool. They've probably got everything that she wants, I think. It's got a clock on it. You can set an alarm.
Stories as well, can't they, I think?
Well, you can play music, yeah. Like, and it's a smart device with Alexa, and she has an iPad. So I was like, oh, sod it. I'm cheating out of this decision of looking through shitloads of crap devices. I'm just going to get an Echo Dot. So it came in the post today. She hasn't got it yet. She opened it on Monday. But I think she'll be... Like, we don't have any of the Echo Dots around the house.
Don't ask it to count to 100 in Welsh.
Right. Is it a long ordeal? Word. Is it?
No. If it says 100 in Welsh, it's very rude.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose it's not rude in Welsh. It's just
no, it's definitely rude in English, though.
Right. Okay. There's lots of foreign words that are rude in English. I don't know. I'm actually quite excited for her to have it because I've never had one of these Echo Dots or Echo devices in the house. I don't know if anybody else does, but
we've got.
I wouldn't have them in the house, mate.
Google things, and we've got
listening to all your stuff.
An Echo Spot thing we've got. One of the original Spot, the globe, little mini globe things. That was quite cool.
Little black one with a blue light around it. Do you use it for music?
I don't use it at all. I'm lucky Amazon because I went with all Google stuff in the end. So it's like, okay. I'm only having one evil corporation in my house.
Now, on these devices, there is an actual physical button to switch off the mic.
Yeah, so,
but to be honest, like, honestly, what information does Google want, or Alexa, or whoever it is, Amazon, what do they want from me? Like, honestly, like,
I have no idea.
What do they want? What information do they want from an 11-year-old girl?
I definitely have no idea. Yeah.
Brad's like, nope, definitely. I'm bowing out that one.
No, I've got my own 12-year-old, so I don't know. Your child is crying again.
Why, Alexa? I don't know.
Your young daughter is upset because there's no toothpaste. She is.
Shall I order 500 tubes of toothpaste
and some sanitary towels?
Oh God, yeah, I got all that to come. That's soon.
Anyway,
fun times.
Yeah, bye. Let's not go into that.
So yeah, that's my week. Really?
All right.
and I'm glad to see the back of it.
Fair enough. Okay, well, look, let's go on then to what we've been playing. Let's go backwards here then. Dave, do you want to start?
I preluded last episode with I was going to play Chivalry 2 beta.
You did.
I played a shitload of it.
Really?
Okay. I loved it. It was so fun. It was only on for like 3 or 4 days. But you know, I was saying like I had loads of this work to do that I did. Yeah, like when I came home at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and I was going back to work at 2, I stayed up until 10 playing Chivalry Beta 2. I'll just jump on, have a quick game. And like literally like it was so good, and the matches, basically 2 teams, 64 players, so 32 players each team. You have objectives to defend or attack different parts of the map, and depending on if you win or lose, you get set a different objective and attack or lose. And the games were just so seamless. So if you went outside of the boundaries of like a quite a large play field, it sort of respawned you back to sort of near the melee, because sometimes you can get confused in which sort of area or direction you go in. But like once it respawns you back, or you die and you respawn, literally like 5-10 seconds of panning around, you see where the main melee of people are and you charge towards it. And yeah, the fighting was really good. So you can have single or double-handed weapons with shields or bow and arrow. And lots of different weapons, like swords and maces, and, axes or pill hooks, or loads of like all the different type of medieval weaponry that you can think of. The 4 different classes that you could choose had a choice of them. There was a leveling up system, so depending on how well you did, how much damage you did to people, or you killed them, like, or takedowns, which is sort of put somebody down but not kill them, or outright kill them, like by chopping the head off, or a fatal wound, like an arm off or a leg off, or somebody's been knocked but not down, and then you kill them on the floor. That's a kill, and you get points. In the beta, it was like a general leveling up system, and the more level up, the more coins you can get, so you can buy different weapons for your different classes. And the maps just sort of once the game ended, there was like a short sort of cooldown, like literally 10-15 seconds, and then it put you straight back into the next match,
right.
And it started it back up. I don't know if that's because like so many people were playing the beta, so there was no sort of pulling people in, or if they filled out lobbies with bots, or I don't know, I couldn't really tell. But they did it in a really good way, that it did seem like a very seamless sort of way of going about it. And yeah, the maps were interesting. There was different ones, storming castles, or literally in an open field. Sort of attacking villages or defending villages, and yeah, it was really good. I'm not sure when the actual game's being released, but I'm definitely looking at picking it up, because
is this a full price jobby, or is this going to be like 30-40 quid?
Service. 30-40 quid, that is full price, isn't it?
No, it's not. 50-60 is full price.
I'm living in the past.
70 in some platforms is full price now.
$35.99.
See, that's mid-range, isn't it?
Yeah, on the Epic Store.
It's actually, I mean, I'm watching some footage of it. It actually looks quite fun.
I think that's the thing. It is. Like,
or is it basically Battlefield, but with medieval?
No. I don't know, it's hard to say. There is actually some strategy about the combat. So blocking at strategic times. If you find that you're winding up an attack or you're swinging and your opposition is swinging at the same time, you can attack at the blade edge or the attacking edge of their weapon to deflect. There is a lot of strategy about it. So there is some, there's a normal attack, a strong attack, a direct forward attack or an overhead attack, and you can adjust the left or right arc of your attack using the alt or moving the mouse in a certain way.
Did you play that Mordhau at all? Did you play that? I remember Sean playing it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that was Sean played that.
A medieval combat game. Like melee combats, obviously. And you used the mouse in an interesting way.
Maybe it sounds a bit similar, but I didn't play that one. But yeah, no, this, like, the, you could tell the people that were very good at it, because like, I know I had one or two one-on-ones with people that have been either played the previous one or just very good at this one, put in the hours, that I just could not get a hit on. And so much so they were actually taunting me. Like, they were just deflecting all my hits. Like, and I stopped swinging for a second, like, just kill me. And I was like, nah. And like, there's all the scroll wheel actions that you can do, and you know, taunts and things like that. And this character obviously was somebody that had put a lot of time into it, and yeah, I just couldn't kill him. But yeah, it was interesting, and it's definitely piqued my interest. So
yeah, keep an eye on that one. That looks like it could be a good laugh.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think Chivalry 1, I don't know. I think
I'm sure that was
Steam.
Free on some. How far can I own that? I reckon that's been free on Steam.
Probably. So I don't know. I'll have to have a look if I've got that or if it's still available or what the price of it is. I do. Chivalry Medieval Warfare Dedicated. I know. I've got the dedicated servers. I think everyone's.
You don't have the game to play on them, though. So
I don't know. No. I could host it, just not play it.
No, I haven't got it. I reckon. I'm sure that's been free before. Must have missed it. Maybe it's one of my many humble keys that I haven't looked at.
maybe. But yeah, if anybody has played Chivalry, let us know. Or if you're interested, because I think I would be interested in picking it up if there's a few people that I know who are.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, there was a few people around looking for a new game to play together.
Yeah, but the sort of the original seals when we were all playing the PUBG, a few of us have been firing messages back and forth about what can we do next, maybe to bring the gang back together. Maybe Chivalry could be an answer at some point.
We'll see. You'd have to stop playing that other V game first, wouldn't you?
No. Okay, anything else, Dave?
No, that's it. That's literally the only game that I've been playing.
Okay, shall I go next?
Can do.
I've been playing... I'll go next. I'm playing some Maneater. The shark eating game. I put in more time this week. So I think I'd started it last week and played maybe half an hour or something, but I've started grinding away at it now. I'm in the second area and I'm doing loads of stuff, and sort of every time it takes me, I sort of sit down and maybe do half an hour and just grind out. But I must admit, I'm probably slowing down on it. It's like, well, do I just want to continue? I mean, I love the grind on this. I used to love the grind, this type of grind. I used to live for this type of grinding. in games like Infamous or whatever they may be, where you, the more you did, the more powerful you became, and the more areas you unlocked, and the more of the world, of the sort of city you got to, you know, to get you to the end game. But this is basically Infamous in the water, right? I mean, a similar sort of thing. Will I keep playing it? There's a part of me I really want to go up to the next level shark, so I might keep at it. You know, that could be the driving force.
Are you still the, what is it, pup?
I'm a teen now.
Right. Did it take long to get that? Because I've got to get a couple of achievements. So, like, should I just play Manny and get a few achievements?
Yeah. I think if you go heads down on it, heads down, just... and start eating everything that you see. I think that's probably one of the keys. Don't stop eating stuff, right? Because
is that how you evolve?
Eating stuff is how, yeah, because you gain minerals, you gain, I can't even remember, DNA, minerals, or I don't know, whatever, the four like symbols of stuff. And depending on what you want to upgrade later on in your shark, you need a certain amount of minerals or a certain mm-hmm. amount of DNA or a certain amount of organics or whatever the fuck they are called. I don't know. I can't remember now. And then sort of as you go, so I've upgraded my, I keep up, you know, I make sure I stay on top of upgrading my shark sonar ability because I want to be able to see the things as quickly as possible that I should be going and discovering. And then that sort of, I'm hope I'm snowballing it the quickest way I can. You know what I mean? Like upgrade.
You
the
love
sonar
a min-max, don't you?
I want it to be as efficient as possible. And then I upgrade. I think I have some electric teeth now, so that when ooh. I chomp something, if I think if I chomp three times on something, it emits it emits an electric pulse that stuns other things that are nearby, so you can go on a bit of a rampage. I don't know how effective it is, but yeah, that game's all right. I like it. I think it's really well made.
Are you playing it's on Xbox good. Now? Or are you playing on PC?
I'm both.
Is it crossplay?
Both.
So you like progression.
Yeah, it's syncing across the PC and the Xbox. I'm actually prefer playing on the Xbox because I like sitting on the couch and playing. I haven't done that with a lot of games recently, so I'm enjoying that.
And it runs okay on the Xbox.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It obviously doesn't look as good, and it's probably only running at 30 frames, but whatever. It's not exactly a
how many frames you need to chomp a human?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's not a deal breaker on that sort of game. Yeah. So. Yeah, and something quite satisfying about eating 10 humans. So so that's all right. Yeah, and then I started playing this game called Original Gangster. So this was pointed out to me by John Mouse. He put a Facebook post up about it. And he has some sort of connection to the guys who I think are running it. And as far as I'm aware, this sort of game is... in some sort of iteration is very popular, and there are lots of examples of them out there, and there's, you know, but this is just one that I'm, you know, through John I'm playing. So it's a browser based game where you are a gangster, so you start off, I've only been playing it for a couple of days, and you pick a city to reside in, and then you have to do daily quests. So some of the quests are you have to go to an auction house, you have to do some training for your abilities, you go place bets at the horse races, you go to the casino slots or whatever, and every time you do these things, you have to go do some petty crimes, and every time you do these things you earn experience and you sort of slowly level up and you gain money and whatever. And then there's a whole, and I'm nowhere near understanding it all, but there's a whole thing tied in with the money, the experience. You can start to be parts of gangs, commit crimes, own things that make money, racketeering or whatever, fights amongst people. Right now I'm in the very early stages of just doing some petty crimes and trying to build up my experience until more things open up. I think there's plenty of examples of these sorts of things. And in fact, I was talking to Matt earlier, and he said it was very reminiscent of, you know, we're going back here to the mid to early 80s of mail-in, what did he call it? Mail-in adventure games or something like that, where mm-hmm. you would have a team of you and you would plan out your moves and then you would mail them and then you would get a mail back of, you know, 5 or 6 days later of the next stage of what you'd chosen. You know, the same sort of thing like BattleTech, right? You know, it's originated from something that was pen and paper or whatever, super complicated. But luckily, by the power of computers, you know, it's much, much easier to let the computer do all the work for you immediately. So anyway, the only thing I'll say about Original Gangster is very accessible. There doesn't seem to be many people playing it. It's very accessible. The Discord, I joined the Discord and I've got guys there answering questions. The guys who are involved in the game are very, very forthright in encouraging you to ask questions or to be involved. I mean, obviously they want the game to do well. So I think it's very much in its early stages. It's just, I don't know. I'm finding some sort of a nice calmness in just being able to fire that up in the browser, go click a few things and then, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes and then walk away, you know, and then come back maybe, you know, later on in the day and do a couple more things or whatever, or come back the next day, you know, and just garden tending. You know what I mean?
It sounded, when I heard John talking about this on latest episode of Joysticks and Chill, and I'm sure I played something a bit like this on Facebook. There was a massive game on Facebook, and I can't remember. It was a long time ago. It was the early Facebook, but like when they started after the poke era of Facebook. There was like Facebook
after the
games,
what era?
Poke era and super poking and all that crap.
Okay.
And then there was like the that's when the games kind of started. Like my missus used to play Farmville shitloads on Facebook. Mm. And I'm sure there was some fucking mafia type game that I used to play on Facebook for a bit. And I felt like after a while I was like, this is not good for me, because it's like I'm just like, you had to wait so long before you could do things, couldn't you? And then you'd be on there and right. do a load of stuff. Yeah. And burst a flurry of activity. And then it'd be like set like an alarm clock almost to go back on the next time you could do stuff. And it's like, this is not healthy. So I stopped playing that.
Yeah. There is that. There is like cooldowns on everything. And like I did find I was starting to get drawn into watching the auction house, which ticks over every hour, you know, and I was like, well, that's not good for me because I don't need to be going into this game every hour. I'm just curious to learn how, you know, how everything works in it. I think what will happen with me is I'll play this. And then once I end up, because I'm enjoying discovering what all the other things are in this game. So that's what I'm enjoying about it at the moment, is figuring it all out. Whether it's got legs for me or not, we'll wait and see. I saw Christian joined Sumu, and he's joined the Joysticks and Chill, or Joysticks and Kill clan. I've refused to join it. I'm not joining it. Yeah, they have to come and get me. If they want me, they come and get me. I'm gonna wait, but in the meantime, I'm gonna.
Well, they could make you a made man or something or other.
Would be good to be a made man, wouldn't it?
I don't even know what that means.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to keep carrying on with that. And then let's talk about BattleTech as part of my thing. So the BattleTech competition is on with the opening. Well, we did have an opening game a couple of days ago between Mark and I, which crashed halfway through the game. Yeah, so that was a bit annoying. So Mark and I need to have a rematch. But I got together with Greg DeLacy because he's in my group. Greg from the Overseas Connection. So Greg and I had a match. So that became the opening salvo. We had that today and I came out victorious, which was nice.
It was not a typical game of BattleTech that I've witnessed previously, let's be honest.
No, I really thought that I would get my ass kicked. I know Greg's a big XCOM player and into that, all that sort of stuff. And I think it highlights with, you know, something with BattleTech, which is there's a lot of randomness to it with the dice rolls for hitting your shots and stuff. And so in this match, I felt like everything went in my way, right? I just made the hits that I needed to hit, you know, like the last time I played, I felt like I wasn't hitting anything. So it's just one of those things, right?
Were you playing that when that happened? Because that's how I felt when I was playing my game.
That was when I played Matt too, yeah, yeah. So, but it was fun. And I think the thing is with this BattleTech is exactly, I mean, I hadn't played, you know, again, I want to learn by plane. I'm enjoying the fight. Like, so I probably, you know, the repetition of playing with the same lances every time will be fun, and I'll enjoy getting to understand more about the, you know, getting to know the mechs that I've got to play with will be interesting. So,
but what both team you did guys you go with?
It, right?
What did you use?
Light Battle.
Light Battle. Hmm. Yeah. I can't remember what I've picked.
I haven't picked anything yet.
Yeah, I had a quick skirmish against the computer, which is not like playing a human being. Just to test out the makeup of this team that I had my eye on after. Because I was like, I haven't got time. There's like, I haven't been, 8 teams is there to pick from? And I was like, I have no idea which ones are winning which team. So I just went online and was like, I had a look at the rope, all the mechs, and was like, okay. And it was like, I tried to search that, and there's no information on that whatsoever. It's all like, oh yeah, pick these ones. And it's like, no, I want to know which stock lance, what the makeup is, like what sort of style of play it is, because I kind of know how I want to play a game. I just want to have the mechs to suit my game. But yeah, there's not that much information out there for Battletech, to be honest. It seems, but I settled on a 4 that I thought, yeah, that sounds like what I want to do. So I don't know what it's called, but I know which ones. I know 2 of the mechs that are in that team, so I know which one to pick when I get to it. But I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive learning process, right? I mean, I really have no idea what the strengths are of these. You know, I just don't know these mechs well enough. But hell, you know what, I went in with a plan. My plan was to, you know, I was really driven actually by the fact that I didn't have a lot of time, so I was like, I'm gonna take my guys and I'm just gonna go at him as quickly as possible, find him and go at him, and then I'm gonna concentrate, I'm gonna find one that I can concentrate on, and I'm gonna concentrate on one of them until mm-hmm. he goes down. And I got very lucky in that there was one that, you know, I was able to just focus on. And then he didn't go down, but when I had to turn my attention to somebody else, like I took an arm off, and then I thought, okay, well now he's over there pretty injured. He's over there with no arm. I'm going to concentrate on another one. And I managed to get an arm off the other one. Right. So I think I got very lucky.
It was all coming up Fraser today.
It definitely was coming up Fraser in that battle, you know, because once they were knackered, the panic to watch all your sides wasn't so. I could then focus on the ones that weren't knackered, right? And so my original intention was to just take one out as quickly as possible and try and have a man advantage, but it ended up being more like just knacker them as quickly as possible. And then I just got lucky and was just knocking his arms off. But you know what? Greg didn't shy away from a fight either. So I really liked that. You know, there was that. We were just both went at it. So it was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. And Greg was a worthy opponent, for sure. And he could have taken me easily on any other day. So, yeah, it's fun. It's good. It's good. And so we streamed that as well, and we're export that match to YouTube for anybody who wants to look at it. They can. It was cool. It was cool, and I look forward to playing some more.
Yep. Who have you got in your group?
Me too.
I've got Greg, Mark, and Claude. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. I think Mark is, as far as I can work out, Mark is the tough one in that group for me, I think, for anyone. Claude, I'm not sure. Claude's a very cerebral type of guy. I'm not sure
how much of this has he played is the thing, I guess.
Well, again, yeah. I mean, you can, but again, you know what? I mean, if, I think on something like this Battletech, on these simple skirmishes with 4v4 mechs, any dog can have their day. And even regardless of the makeup of the types of mechs you have, and of course, it's, you know, if you know exactly the best way to play those mechs, that is going to help. But you could probably still get undone by somebody playing some pretty underhanded or weaselly tactics or like something, you know, it's not playing a computer, right? And that's I think what is really nice about this, you know, is that you could play thousands of hours of Battletech campaign and be romping to victory in that. As soon as you come up against someone who doesn't behave like the computer at all, you could be knackered, right? So,
well, I don't know if there's any AI settings, but I played a skirmish just to like check out the lance that I was going to use. And I was massively underwhelmed at how clever the computer was. I was like, this right. fucking computer is mega stupid. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They just walk up to you and try yeah. to punch you, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then for the last three, like, it was 1v1 at the end. So they did take a couple of mechs, like three of my mechs out as I took three of theirs out. But the last three moves they made, they didn't even attack me. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Just punched them again.
Right. But, yeah, they deserved it then.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's Battletech. There'll be more, no doubt.
There will be. Update. Yep. Oh, couple of weeks, isn't it? Next week. Week off.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah, that's me done.
Okay. Well, shall I go now then, as it's my enemy list? Leading on from Battletech, I'll start with the last game on my list, which was Mech Warrior 5, Mercenaries, which I played for about, I don't know, an hour, three quarters of an hour, to an hour before I had a power cut today, like the 70s or something. Which is using exactly the same mechs. It is the same universe as Battletech, that all the Mech Warrior stuff is. They're all called the same things, and I was in a Centurion or whatever in the part of this mission. It's got a massively cheesy campaign story to start off with. It's like, you know exactly what's going to happen before it happens when you're watching it, sort of thing. But, and it was like the tutorial, and I was just getting into the first mission and then I had a power cut. But this is like first person mech combat rather than map based, like turn-based combat. So this turn-based, is real time. Yeah, yeah. Real time, you're in the mech, you're turning it left and right and moving the turret and shooting all the weapons. It's got all the same weapons and stuff as that's in Battletech. So PC, it was quite familiar.
Yeah.
Immediately, as familiar as it gets for me with Battletech, because it's, you know, relatively new. But I don't know, it seemed okay. I was like, it's not going to blow you away. But like I say, I'd only played it for 3/4 of an hour and I was in the middle of a mission and the fucking power went in the house. I was like, oh, that's not good. But it's faithful to the universe. That's all I can say so much, really. And it seemed all right. Big mech walking around, blowing the shit out of stuff. So I might go back and have a bit more of a go. We'll see. I didn't get any achievements, though, which was my main miss for playing it. And I was like, bam. I thought I'd get an easy one for playing the tutorial. Nope, didn't happen. I was like, you bastard. So
I see this was released really recently then. Like, yeah. 27th
went straight into Game
May.
Pass, yeah.
I see, yeah, it's on Steam as well.
Hmm.
For $25.99.
Yeah, it's definitely not not $60. But, yeah, I don't know. I can't really judge too much on it because, like I say, I didn't get particularly far. But, like I say, it's all exactly the same stuff. But, yeah, massively cheesy story campaign going on. But, yeah, the actual... I didn't actually fight. I only fought one actual mech versus mech battle, and that was in the tutorial bit. So it was obviously really easy. The only things I blew apart in the campaign were like buildings and little mini tank things that were driving around in the snow. So yeah, we'll see. I might go back to it. I might never play again. Who knows? So moving on from there, my main game for the last week. I bet you can't guess what it is. I might be up to level 88, level 87 in the season pass after whatever 2.5 weeks. So I ain't got very long left on that. So it's Destiny 2. I've been playing loads again.
Shocker.
Yeah. Doing all my bounties, going and pick up all my bounties, do all my jobs. Kill some people and get killed by other people in the PvP and kill countless thousands of AIs in the course of a week and try and chip away at all the triumphs that need to be ticked off. So maybe I'll have a thing under my name at the end of the season. if I do all my jobs. I just, as I've said before, there's a lot. I've started tinkering with my build. I've had a main build that I've been using with my art. I've got one set of armor, which is all set up around sword usage in the game. Like all of, there's loads of mods that like boost your swords, and if you do certain things with swords, then you get extra power with swords and stuff like this, and like all this fucking loads of stuff that, like, say that most people massively flies over their heads. I'm not a massive expert on it, but I know, like, I've done a load of stuff to try and maximize my sword usage. But then I found myself needing to use things other than swords, so I was like, should probably do another build. So I did
guns.
Well, yeah, there's guns. Obviously, you have to use guns anyway. But, like, the main power, you get, like, your primary, your secondary, and then your power weapon. The power swords are power weapons. So they do a shitload of damage if you do the right thing. And they're really good for, like, taking out some of the big bosses. But, obviously, the downfall is you need to be right up close when you're using the sword. And, like, maybe a sniper rifle is a better option sometimes than you're fucking miles away from getting hit. So I did a build around what they call Warmind cells. So if you use certain types of weapons and you kill a load of baddies, every now and again, this big glowing orb pops out, and it's a Warmind cell. And if you shoot the Warmind cell enough, it explodes and does fucking tons of damage. So I did a build around trying to generate more of those orbs and doing bigger damage with those orbs and receiving less damage from enemies that are near orbs and stuff. There's loads of fucking stuff that you can do. And if you use certain types of weapons, it's more likely to generate them and all that sort of shit. So, yeah, I was fiddling around with all of the technicalities of that today. I've got my character up to, like, 1320-ish, 1322. So I'm a nice power level now. Iron Banner's next week again. So I feel like I'm not going to be fucking crying constantly.
I was going to say, is that getting my ass kicked? Is that a good light level for that?
That's, like, competitive, yeah. I'd say, apart from the absolute top tiers who've been, like, probably, like, playing hundreds and hundreds of hours. So, yeah, I've got a few more ideas I need to work on, so I need to get a few more builds together. Because, like, excuse me. PvP, there's certain weapon types that are really, I like, the meta, if you like. Like, there's guns that are good. And there's a lot of guns that are total shit in PvP, so which could be good in PvE. So I want to start working a nice crucible build. So that I've got a few elite hand cannons, which is like revolvers type things, like super magic mega revolvers. And there's tons and tons of different types, but they're pretty good in PvP. Like if you ping the headshots. Like two
I was
going
to say, they've always been the guns to go for.
Two or three headshots is enough to take someone out, usually, PvP, depending on the hand cannon. Like assault, is it called assault rifle? It's called assault rifle. So assault rifles, there are some decent ones, but they tend to recoil a bit too much and you don't hit every hit that you think you're going to hit and that sort of thing. So you might, like someone with a hand cannon, is just probably going to take you out. I mean, there's fucking some of the players in the PvP are ridiculously good. And I was like, I was on the verge of reporting someone for cheating the other day. I was like, literally walked around the corner and got my head blown off. I was like, fucking hell. No chance. I didn't even see them. And they did that a few times. I was like, this is seriously dodgy. But I was like, But then there's times where you just like, then I started to actually kill them. So I was like, oh, maybe they weren't cheating. So just like got unlucky. But yeah, there's a one hand cannon called Thorn that I like using. It makes a nice, cool noise when you shoot people. And what it does
is that still going? Yeah, that's like since the start.
So
that
it leaves like a poison dart type of thing in the player. So if they run around a corner after you've shot them, you can see the numbers tick off the corner. Not for very long, but long enough to get around there and know exactly where they are. And it'll just obviously that extra little bit of damage that ticks. The Crucible mode, there's like an always a featured Crucible mode, which is the PvP. This week is called Momentum Control. And basically weapons do increased damage. And there was me, like an idiot, running around trying to shoot people with my Thorn, because I was having loads of fun with it before. And just getting my ass fucking handed to me on a plate with people with these things called Trace Rifles, which is like a laser beam, basically. And like it's a secondary weapon, so you've got limited ammo. But people were just running, loads of people running around with these trace valves, and they must just fucking doing tons of damage. Because you just really like just get like touched with one, and you're like, fucking get evaporated. But I don't really like using them. Because their ammo seems to run out really fucking quick. But grenade launchers, there's like a single-handed grenade launcher weapon type, plus the big grenade launcher weapon type now. That's relatively new. And the single-handed grenade launcher, I was having quite a lot of fun flying around and launching grenade launchers at people. And literally, with these ones, is you hold the button down and the grenade flies. And when you let go of the button, it explodes. I was getting quite good at like firing off this grenade, so, and like
there was a
like,
little bit of
away.
Skill needed.
Yeah. It's not total, like you don't just like ping it off. But a lot of people complaining about grenade launchers. They've had the big rebalance with the stasis powers this week. Because I did say the other week how it was getting super annoying. Like some of the classes have got these really powerful supers and fucking grenades. Where you just like freeze and you can't move. And the game is so massively based around mobility that when you can't move, it's really shit. So they've nerfed all of that stuff yesterday in a big way in some places. So hopefully they're going to do something to boost the old traditional like light powers, solar and arc and void. Some of them still feel a bit weak, I think, compared to the stasis. But it feels a little bit more of a level playing field, a little bit. We'll see what happens with that. So, yeah, I've been, just, like I say, doing lots of little, like, min-maxing kind of things now. I've got to the point where I've got my main level up. I'm starting to level up all my guns, getting enough materials to level up all my stuff to the nice high level. And now it's about fiddling around with armor builds to maximize stuff. So yeah, like I say, only like 12 levels to go now on the season pass, and then Mr. DeFelice has invited me to a clan. But for some reason, I can't leave my fucking clan that I'm in at the minute. So I'm a bit like in limbo at the moment, enjoying them. So we'll see how that goes. But there'll be hopefully a lot more people to play with if I manage to sort that out. Soon. But enough about that. It's now VR Corner.
Hooray! VR
Corner. This is becoming a regular feature.
Mm-hmm.
Played more Creed. You watched me play a bit of Creed. That was after last week's show, wasn't it?
I watched you have a fight, I was entertained.
Who was I fighting then? Was that Clubber Lang? It wasn't Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang.
No, I fought Apollo Creed, didn't I, while you were watching? And I knocked him out. Apollo Creed was, you know, I knocked him out. He wasn't too hard. Clubber Lang, holy shit. Dude is a fucking...
Oh, Clubber Lang was Mr. T, wasn't he, right?
He was absolutely impossible. I knocked him down, and I was like, yes, knocked him down. He literally got straight back up. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I was like properly blowing already. And he eventually just knocked me fuck out big time. Like, twice. I was like, oh, fuck this. So, I heard Nezzy talk about this on Joysticks and Chill. I bought The Thrill of the Fight, which is the other VR boxing game, which is only £8.
Look at you, all on your boxing VR tip.
This is very different. Like, Creed is all, like, proper, almost AAA, like, level of graphics and stuff like that for VR. It's real good. But the actual boxing part is very arcadey, and it's got like gamey things in it, like the stamina, your character has stamina and stuff. Thrill of the Fight, very much not glitzy and glamoury. It's very bare bones. The fighter models are all right, but they're, you know, not like massively ripped dudes like they were in Creed. But the boxing side of it is a lot. So I've never been boxed. I've not been in many fights in my life either, but it feels a bit more like realistic, inverted commas. Where there's no, like, if you get... I haven't been knocked out in this yet because I've only done the first two fighters. But if you do get knocked out, I think you're right. You're properly that. There's no, like, silly game to get back in. I think that's it. You just have to wait for the time to come.
Yeah, because on that creed, when you get knocked out, it's almost like you have to run back to the ring.
Yeah, there's like a mini game to get back in, yeah. But yeah, I don't think there's any of that in this game. This is like, if you get knocked out, you're basically either you stand for the count at eight or you're fucked. But yeah.
Yeah, there's somebody, I was reading something about this, and there was somebody saying, you know, the fact that the problem with creed is that your stamina is already decided for you, whereas with this one,
your stamina is your stamina.
It's your stamina, right? Yeah, your real stamina. Yeah, yeah, which seems like that would be pretty cool.
It is cool, but I wasn't very cool after a while. I can tell you that. It was extremely sweaty and hot. These boxing games really fucking get my heart going and everything, get me puffing hard and. It's probably the biggest workout I've had in a fucking long time. These guys, though, in Thrill of the Fight, they're a lot harder. They're a lot like they're more boxery type. Yeah, there's no like the guy's there covering up his face, so I'm like jabbing him in the belly, and he's like, and then he'll like drop his guard maybe, and I'll go to like jab him in the face, but. They're so fucking quick. They're just like, bang, start fucking hook you to the right. You're like, fucking hell, that was quick. I've only played the first couple. They take a fucking beating to knock them over. And I was absolutely, like, throwing hundreds of punches. And it was just like, oh, I'm fucked. And this is like seconds out, round two. And I'm like, nope, can we just wait the full minute before I go for the next round here? Because I need to fucking calm down a bit. It's like, actually pouring with sweat. So, yeah, that's good. Very different from Creed. The thing that is missing versus Creed has multiplayer. So you can do, like, player versus player, which I think would be a good giggle. I don't know if they still have all of the stamina bollocks in it, so it probably do. But if it was just a proper fight between, like, you and your mates, it would be really good. And if Thrill of the Fight, like I say, you can't really ask for much for fucking £8, can you?
That's fair enough.
It's good. What is there is really good. It's pretty bare bones, but it's good. It's what's there is enough to have fun and get a good sweat on. I played a quick game of one game, which was shit. So I'd recommend you do not buy this game. It was called ATEC Cybernetic. It came with that bundle from the humble bundle of VR games. I played it for about 10 minutes. It was like, this game is shit. It was like a typical, like, I was in a room and you had to pick up guns off the wall and zap them into your hands and shoot, I don't know, fucking Terminator zombie robot things. It was just shit. The movement was crap. There was no teleporting around. It was just shit. So don't play that. ATEC Cybernetic. There's much better VR shooty games than that. And one of those games... very different style, but I played Pistol Whip, which you probably heard of if you've into VR at all.
It's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, pretty good is a bit of an understatement. It's really fucking good. So it's a cross of a music rhythm shooting game. So you're on this sort of one-way track. It's like on rails, the game. You're playing some sort of dubstepy type music. And then from the scenery emerge people that you need to shoot, and they shoot at you. And if they shoot at you, you need to dodge out of the way of bullets. And yeah, you have to you've got basically a pistol. Oh, we're not. Yeah, whatever. Like a Glock type pistol. So you'll be like, bang, 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 shooting all these people. Eventually it runs out of ammo. You have to like push it down towards your hip. And pick it up again, it reloads automatically. There's no like fanning about like actual realism of reloading. It's more about the action. The music part of it is, if you shoot people in time with the music, you get extra sort of bonus accuracy. And like, if you're more accurate, you get loads more points. So initially I was just like, bang, 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 bang. Doesn't really listen to the music. I was just shooting people as they turn. And then like, the more you play, you're like, actually, if I like go bang, 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 like in time with the music, it's like, oh yeah, that actually works quite good. And you notice that it's sort of, you can play it in time with a tune and stuff like that. It's actually really cool. And what it does get you doing is fucking dodging around all over the place, and my legs were fucking killing me after playing this for about an hour. And they're still aching today. So this is, as much as good it is and fun as it is, it's also quite a sweaty little time as well. So this has definitely got two thumbs up as well.
That's good.
If I had more than two thumbs, it would get that as well. This is a really good game in VR. It's a bit of a cross, like I say, super hot and like, I don't know, any music rhythm game. But yeah, it's that style of sort of graphics, a bit much more colourful than super hot. But yeah, similarly, sort of in the terms of how many polygons are made up of things. It's a bit much better, much more detailed, but similar in sort of aesthetic, in terms it's not realistic looking exactly. You're walking down like pink and purple flashing corridor and shit like that. And then there's these black and white. Most of your enemies are black and white so far. And then this had like a free update, and it's got now a campaign mode called 2089. And there's like weird, super mad, crazy fucking story that you play through. And when instead of shooting people, you're shooting like Terminator robots, which is cool from what I've played of it so far. But like I say, I played for a while and I was fucking knackered. I had to stop. So, but yeah, awesome. Absolutely awesome. Thoroughly recommended. If you have a Quest 2 or any other form of VR, you have to. The reason I did buy it, I had a cheeky 30% off voucher from Oculus. I was like, oh, okay, I'll be looking at buying a game then. I was like, I don't really want to waste my 30% voucher on an £8 game. I'll look for something a bit more expensive. And I ended up paying 14 quid, I think it was, with the 30% off for Pistol Whip. So, the thing with VR games, not many of them are very expensive. Because I guess they're probably getting a bit of their funding, especially if they're on Oculus, from the Facebook money. So,
right.
Because a lot of the people have become part of Oculus Studios, which is obviously funded by Facebook. So, they don't necessarily need to sell a shitload of games to get their money and get paid.
But they need to sell a shitload of games. That's what they need to do. Right?
Well, I think like Facebook are obviously pushing it. So
yeah, there's a lot of games coming out. Yeah, I'm surprised, and I'm really, you know what, I hate to, you know, not that I hate to say it. I like to say it, you know, your enthusiasm for the last couple of VR games you just talked about is quite refreshing, right? You genuinely sound like you're really enjoying them.
They are really enjoyable, they wouldn't be that you could not play these games, or they would, like, you can play super hot obviously on a computer or a console. If you've played that in VR versus, I've not played it on a computer or console, but in VR, super hot's fucking mind blowing. like Pistol Whip is like, you just couldn't have a game like that. It would be shit if it was on a computer screen. It would just be boring. But when you're fucking launching it around, spinning around, I haven't quite got to the point where I'm rolling around on the floor, but you need to dodge out of the way of the bullets. And then there's like things that come at you in the way on your like walkway, inverted commas, because obviously not walking. I found myself several times, the game's just paused and said, can you move back to the middle of your play zone, please? Because you've clearly moved massively far out. I was like, shit. Huh? Like, totally lose track of where you are. That was one good thing about, like, that thrill of the fight. It says you need at least 2 meters by 2 meters. So before you buy the game, it tells you you need a big play space. Because you do find, like, you are actually, like, moving around the ring. It's not a full-size boxing ring, obviously, because I'm...
And swinging punches as well. Right? Swinging punches.
Yeah. But, yeah, you do actually find yourself moving around quite a lot in the especially, like, well, thrill of the fight. I'm a bit of a stand and fight guy, apparently, in boxing, which is probably not the best thing to do. But in Pistol Whip, I found I was fucking moving all over the place. I'm doing loads of stuff, like, physically that I wasn't doing before, so that's good. However, I did put on 3 fucking pounds last week. I was like, you fuck!
What? 3?
Yep, how the fuck could I have done that? I don't know. I was like, I've been drinking zero alcohol beers all week. I've been drinking...
Muscle, mate. Well. That's muscle.
I was like, yeah, I can only assume that my fat is turning to muscle.
Yes! I bet I've put on weight. I feel fat.
Yeah, well, I've eaten pizza today and drunk beer, so I'm feeling like I'm fucking Michelin man at the moment.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, while you talked about Destiny 2, I ate 3 slices of pizza.
No, it just makes me feel hungry.
All right, what else we got?
That's me done for games. I did put a cheeky news story in this week.
Go on then.
Have you read it?
No.
Right, well, it's loosely related to video games. Somebody somehow found a chicken nugget, right, in their McDonald's chicken nuggets that looked a little bit like an Among Us character. And then managed to sell it for $100,000. It is shaped like the crewmates featured in the game and had more than 180 bidders before the auction finally closed at 8 a.m. this morning.
Yep. Good luck collecting that.
Yep. Like, really? It's like, what does it say? Something about, oh, it will go off after a week. I was like, this is a McDonald's. An average of 14 days before they go bad, apparently. It was like, 14 days for a fucking already cooked chicken nugget? I wouldn't fancy any after 14 days.
I wouldn't really fancy eating it fresh.
No, me neither. They're fucking rank. But yeah.
Wow.
People were mad.
I quite like a chicken nugget now and again.
I like chicken nuggets that are made from chicken breasts with breadcrumbs on. Mashed up.
The problem, I'm ruined, right? My wife does that. Like chicken breasts coated in breadcrumbs, shallow fried. What?
It's real stuff. Oh, mate.
Doesn't come out of a tin.
Beaks, arseholes, and wing bits. That's what I want.
No. I'm ruined.
I tell you what I've been enjoying recently. Vegetarian or vegan fish, like not fish sticks, but sticks, breaded sticks. Put in the oven. They're really nice, actually. I got like the first one I had, I was like, oh, really?
Is it like a courgette with breadcrumbs on?
Kind of. It's just like a mixed vegetable.
I've had, this is going to sound a bit pretentious and wanky, but courgettes in tempura or batter. That was quite nice.
Oh, yeah. That's quite popular over here.
Yeah. It's vegetarian and vegan stuff. It's actually
vegetables.
Not too bad nowadays.
Yeah, I could definitely eat more vegetarian stuff.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway. Vegetable curries are good.
Yeah, that's good. Actually, my wife quite often makes like a lentil and potato curry. So, yeah, it's good stuff. Mm. Oh, I'm signed up for a curry cooking course.
Ooh.
Sometime, probably in about 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
Zooming or?
A Zoom call, whereas a lady's going to teach a load of us to cook a curry.
What are you going to have, get your own ingredients?
Yeah, she'll give us the ingredients list and then we'll do it. I've cooked curries before, but it'll be, what's the worst that can happen?
Are you going to get, it a proper, I'm going to use ghee, like actual curry?
You know what? I hope so.
Buy one pot of Indian spice paste, put it in the pan, put some meat in it. There you go. Curry.
Put some coconut curry milk in. Nice. Done.
Yeah. Could be.
That's £300, please.
Anyway, this is an aside, so that'll be fun.
I realise. Yeah, worst can happen, you'll end up with a nice curry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then let's. I've got children hovering. They can smell blood in the water. That the basement is going to open up again for them to hit their gaming PCs. So, if you don't mind, gents, I'll call it there. Dave, do you want to take us out?
Yes, I will. I will. I am fully prepared. For my thank you for listening to the Sealed podcast. If you'd like to ask us questions or get involved, please contact us either by Twitter at Sealed podcast, email us at sealedpodcast@gmail.com, or join us on our Discord server. A link is pinned on our Twitter. So thank you very much, gentlemen. We're not on next week, is that correct?
Probably not. Usually. If we stick to usual, which we usually do.
Oh, I never remember. I need to put in like a calendar or something, a scheduled reminder.
If this, then that.
But if this then that, yeah. But I'm sure I've got a few BattleTech games coming up. I know I've got one against Neil. I've got one against Matt where I'm probably going to lose horribly.
Is everyone thinking they're going to leave Matt till last?
Well, I thought I might go first or right. try and like battle Let's him first, like, and I'd throw him off maybe with a slightly unusual. Well, no, it's well, I've got to choose one of the eight.
Yeah, you've got to pick and stick. Teams, like, that's the thing.
Yeah, I've only played one or two, but I might just choose something completely off the cuff. See if I can throw him before he understands, because I'm sure he's going to be watching everybody play their game on.
Yeah,
but I don't know how much that's going to help him, because like I don't think I've played the same game. Like a game I played against Greg today was nothing like the game I played against Mark, which is nothing like the games I played against. You know, I haven't played a lot of games, but I know that I've had different tactics every time.
So are you playing the opposition rather than the scenario?
I'm not sure. I tend to.
Like, have you got it in your head? When you're playing Matt, I'm going to have to be super fucking careful.
No, I had it in my head for Greg. I'll just tell you right now. So I had it in my head for Greg today. I just wanted to get at him straight away. I don't care. Like, I've played a load of games before where it was sneaky, sneaky, go round, do this, flank that. Greg, I just, and plus, because he's American, right? So you know Greg's going to appreciate that. He's always up, the Americans are always up for a scrap, right? And I just wanted to get, plus I had to go to the doctors. So I wanted to get in, just get at it straight away and see what happens.
Charge with all four.
Right.
Well,
I've lost every game I've played so far anyway. So what's the big deal? Yeah. What if I, you know, that's the biggest thing about, you know, if you lose every game, what have you got to lose? You're going to lose another game. So what? So you got to try something. And so that's, I think, worth a go. But at the same time, like I've played a game against Matt as well, where I've been taking my sweet, sweet time, right? Just really thinking about what I want to do. And I felt like I had him on the ropes at one point. So it's possible. And that was only like my second game. You know, I think it's as long as you have a handle on the basics, like on the don't overheat, you know. Be careful of the flanks of getting shot from behind and whatever. Like I'm just finding just some good basics. You can put up a decent fight against anyone, I reckon, with the way this skirmish is set up.
Yeah, I think so. So come and join us. Watch our games on VG Hub on Twitch. As you said, the videos will be VG Hub TV. I know I have subscribed to the YouTube channel, and I'll be watching some.
Maybe we'll tweet it out.
Maybe we'll tweet it out when we go.
There's always links in our Discord to the show, the things that are going out. Well, hopefully, if it works, there's definitely you'll find the channel if you go to the live streams part of our Discord. There's lots of notifications for the channel. And that will take you there, I believe, if I click on it. Let's see. Yes, it works. So
wonderful.
Perfect. Cool.
Okay. All right, then. Good. All right. Well, I could certainly talk about BattleTech for a bit more, so I don't know. For now, we'll say goodbye, and then maybe we'll just talk about BattleTech after that.
Maybe we'll play a game. Who knows?
Yeah, when are you guys thinking of playing your game?
I've got a busy weekend.
At I'm each back other at work now.
Yeah.
Not now.
Oh, no, for those who are working. But the sound
I almost thought about getting a laptop out and jumping on, but not now. In the morning, I've got to crack on.
Yeah.
Gents, thank you very much, everyone. Thanks very much for listening. Bye.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Stop recording.